Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Finally went to a church in Iowa, and in this church, I was only pastoring there maybe 2-3 months, and I met a gentleman, and he found out I was a pastor. He says, "Hey, what's your church?" And I shared with him the name of our church, and he says, "Oh, that's Pastor Yates's old church." Right? He didn't say, "Oh," he said, "That's Pastor Yates's church," like he was still there. Now, Pastor Yates had been pastor 15 years before that. He founded the church, and in the time he was there, the church exploded. They were reaching street kids, runaways, drug addicts. They were being delivered from drugs and alcohol. Miracles were taking place. So much was happening in the supernatural that the newspaper, realize this was back in the 70s when newspapers were a big thing. Newspapers, you know, they're not that big now. But the newspapers then, they came, they took pictures and did a full page story on the church, not once, not twice, but three separate times over the course of about 2-3 years. So my church that I became pastor of was very well known in the city. But Pastor Yates, when he left the church, he did not leave in a good way because he had an affair with the church secretary. And as a result, what took place, he was removed from ministry, but he went and started his own church. And our congregation at the time that was running 400 or 500, a third of the people went with him, a third stayed with the church, and another third, few of them went to other churches, but most just dropped off the face of the earth and they didn't go anywhere. And when I come, four pastors later, there's three pastors before me after Pastor Yates, four pastors 15 years later, it's still known as Pastor Yates's church. We had a very bad reputation in the community. We had a black eye. I began to pray and seek God, what do we do? And God led me to do a ministry called servant evangelism, where you just go out and serve your community. And I felt like this is what God wanted us to do. So we went to some businesses. We went to a big grocery store. It was a Cub food store. We don't have them here. It'd be like a Smith's, Albertsons. They had this big empty lot, and on their the boulevards out front, there was just tons of trash. And I went to them and says, "Can we come pick up your trash?" And they says, "Yeah, you can pick up our trash." So we started picking up trash for different businesses in the area. We began to go door to door in the neighborhoods around our church doing free giveaways. One time we gave away free light bulbs. Another time it was free batteries for their smoke alarm, and we took AA and 9-volt, and like, which one do you need? We gave away free toilet paper. You know, during COVID, that was a big thing. Back then, I think it might have seemed kind of funny, but yeah, we did it. We gave free toilet paper. We did went to the gas station and the grocery store in the wintertime. We got permission to be just inside their door as people walked in, and we gave away free coffee and hot cocoa as people came in. In the summer times, we gave away free iced pop. We also did a free gas giveaway. And as we began to do all of these different things serving our community, it began to transform people's perspective of our church. And I remember a few years into doing this, I was talking with someone, a stranger in the community. I didn't know them. They didn't know me. They found out I was a pastor, and they said, "Hey, where is your church? What is your church?" And I shared with them the name of the church, and this was the response they gave. "Oh, you're the church that does nice things for people." And it was like, I'll take that. Hallelujah! I want you to catch this truth today in your notes this morning. Serving together shows God's love, and it opens and deepens relationships. Serving together shows God's love and opens and deepens relationships. That is the power of serving. And I want to welcome everyone here today as we are in our second to the last part. We have today and one more week left of our 9 Arts of Spiritual Conversations, where we're learning how to develop spiritual conversations with people. And my prayer is that in this, that we will see people who we wrote on our mission list. How many have your mission list? You've got this card that we gave out back in April. How many have been praying for those people on your card? I see quite a few hands up. That's great. keep praying for those people. We're praying for these people to come to know Jesus over the next couple years. But our prayer is that God is going to open up spiritual conversations for us so that they can come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're praying for this year, as our theme is abundance, that it's not just abundant blessing, but that we have abundant influence. And as we learn these arts of spiritual conversation, if you've missed any, you can go back to our website and you can pick these up. But we've talked about how as we notice those who are around us and we pray for them, we notice the needs we're experiencing. What God will begin to do then is he's going to show us things. They'll begin to talk. God will give us an opportunity in relationship, and we need to listen very carefully to what is taking place. Listen to what they say, and as they share and we listen to gain an even greater understanding, then we need to seek to understand, so we're going to ask questions. And as we ask these questions, it's going to create meaningful conversation, and that will give us a genuine love in our heart as we learn more about them and their situation, their needs, their struggles, their hopes, their dreams. It's going to give us a more loving heart. After we have been moving through these things, we need to have a welcoming attitude where we're welcoming them into our lives, inviting them to maybe go to the gym with us, to over for the 4th of July for a cookout. We're welcoming them into our lives, into our homes, into our activities. As we are deepening a relationship with people, as God takes us further and further, we want to facilitate conversations. And that's what we talked about last time, where our conversations, we're going to have an opportunity where they've got issues, they've got questions, they've got things they're struggling with, and they might just begin to share those and bring those up. And we want to be at a place where we can minister to them, not necessarily giving them the answer right away, but letting them know we love them, we care for them, and we ask questions. Why do you feel that way? What has happened to give you that perception of God, of the Bible, of Christianity? You know, why do you wrestle that with that? And we just ask questions to gain a deeper understanding of them. This morning, we're going to look at serving together. Serving together gives us an opportunity where they come with us, and first of all, it is good for us to serve others. As we serve others, they realize that, wow, they're genuine, they care. People know that we're Christians by our love for one another, so serving is good. But here's an added dimension. When you can serve with them, you include them so that you and them serve together, what happens is they get to see God in action. They get to see that God cares about them, that God loves them, that God cares about people. He wants to be involved in your lives. That is what Jesus did. Jesus modeled all nine arts of these spiritual conversations. And by the way, we've mentioned before there is a book by John Crissey that you can purchase that really goes more in depth, and you can study that if you want to learn more about these. But this morning, as we talk about serving, I want you to look in your notes at point number one. Jesus invited people to serve with him. Jesus invited people to serve with him. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and they followed him. When you think about Jesus and as he reached out to all 12 of the disciples, none of them knew who Jesus was when they first encountered him. They were all at a ground level. They had no idea who Jesus was. But what Christ did is he was fine with them not having the answers. He just included them in his life. He welcomed them in, and he invited them to serve with him. He didn't say, notice what he said to them, "Follow me and I'll teach you cool stuff." No, he said, "Follow me and you will fish for men. I'll send you out and you'll fish for people. You'll serve, you'll minister, you will do this." Jesus included them in serving. He helped. He used them to help manage the crowds. He used them to feed people. He used them to pray for people. Jesus was not afraid to include those who were seekers of truth in serving alongside of him. And when we take a look in John chapter 6, we see probably one of the best examples where Jesus was serving and invited them to serve along with him. It's the story of the five loaves and the two fish. We pick it up in John chapter 6, verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Now, Jesus knew the answer to this. He knew what he was going to do, but he asks a question because he's trying to get the disciples to be open to what God wants to do in this moment. He wants them to realize how big this need is so that when God meets the need, they're going, wow. He wants them to realize it. Where should we buy bread for all these people? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." By the way, it says there were 5,000 men. It doesn't say how many women and children. There are only 5,000 men. So if most of them were married, and if some of them had kids, and a lot of times they had larger families back then, Bible scholars believe there was probably at least 10,000 to 15,000 or more people here. You're out in the middle of wilderness. You don't even have a Walmart to go to get anything, okay? Where are you going to come up with food for 10, 15, 20,000 people when you don't have the money for it? Another disciple said, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the five barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Jesus recognizes the problem, begins to ask his disciples how they can serve. They see the problem is much more than they can handle, but it's not too big for Jesus. And Jesus says, here's the solution, and he invites the disciples to be a part of it. I love that. Jesus knew there was not enough, but as the disciples, and I don't know how this happened. I don't know if they took out the baskets, and as they distributed, if the food just kept appearing in the basket, you know, it's like it never ran out, or if it's like, okay, I'm out of food. Now I go back to Jesus where he broke the bread and the fish, and there is more here, so I load it all up, and then they went out. I don't know how it happened. I just know what happened, and it's amazing. Amen. And what's even more amazing is that when they got done, there were 12 baskets of bread. They had more bread after they served than before they served. That's amazing. Here's the thing, our God is still in the multiplication business, and I want you to know, some of you who are here today or watching online, maybe you've got a situation where you're lacking something spiritually, physically, emotionally, whatever it is. I don't care how impossible, how little of resources you have, God can multiply your situation and he can provide abundantly. That's our theme for 2023. Believe God to do abundantly. God is seldom early, but he's never late. He's seldom early, but he's never late. And you can trust God that he will provide for you. As we look at, if you read further in the chapter, you will realize that Jesus begins to teach some hard things. And as Jesus does, people start to leave him. And in verse 14, what's interesting is in verse 14, after this, it says, the people saw a sign performed by Jesus. They said, surely this is the prophet who's coming into the world. And they're thinking, hey, here's a guy who can create food out of practically nothing. He can be our Savior. He can deliver us for the Romans. So that's why Jesus begins to teach hard things. And how many know the gospel isn't easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. We have to realize that we're sinners, that we need to repent of sin, surrender our lives, commit our lives to God and follow Him, where He's the boss calling the shots and it's not us. It's hard. It's hard. We have to receive Him, but there's going to have to... Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. And when Jesus started talking about the hard things, people started leaving. And then this is what Jesus said to the disciples in verse 67 of chapter 6. You do not want to leave too? Jesus asked the 12. He's saying everyone else is turning away. What about you guys? Are you with me or not? Are you in or are you out? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. And I find it interesting that this confession comes after this great miracle that the disciples were part of in serving others. As they are serving, they just didn't hear about it. They weren't sitting on the ground and it's like, well, there's a secret bread and fish truck that's behind the hill and they're going and getting it and bring. No, they knew where it came from. They knew it was a miracle, the power of God. And because of that, they knew God was real. Jesus was more than a man, more than just an eloquent, charismatic teacher, more than just someone who is a good moral person. They realized He was the Messiah because they served with Him. And that brings us to point number two in our notes this morning. Through serving with Jesus, the disciples came to believe. Through serving with Jesus, the disciples came to believe. And friends, when people serve with us, they see God move. They realize God does do miracles. God really does care. God is not just something you read about in a book, but Jesus is alive and well. He didn't die on a cross and was buried and stayed there. He rose from the dead. He's alive and well today, and He works in people's lives. People can come to believe in God as they serve. What does serving do? Serving helps us display God's love. Just as when we, as our church, when I was pastoring in Iowa, every card we gave away, every gift we gave, every act of service we did, every cup of coffee, we gave a little business card that had the information of the church and a map to the church on one side, because you didn't have internet back in those days, so you had to show them where you were at. But on the other side says, this gift is absolutely free, no strings attached. It's just like God's love. We wanted to show God's love in a practical way. That's what we said. We're giving you this light bulb to show you God's love in a practical way. Here's a voucher for free gas to show you God's love in a practical way. And they said, well, what can I give you? Nothing. It's free. It's absolutely free. No strings attached. We want you to know God loves you. We love you. And this is just a gift to show you that God loves and cares about you. And as we serve, it shows God's love in a practical way. It also helps us build relationships, and it helps us earn the right to be heard from others. Because as Christians, we're not called just to talk about God. We are called to model Jesus in His love. We're called to have a faith that's not just about an attitude on the inside and a belief in our mind, but it is faith in action. James talked about this when he wrote to the Christians, James chapter 2, verse 14. It says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does do nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. This brings us to our third point, is that we show our faith by our actions. We show our faith by our actions. James' point is simply this. If you and I are not demonstrating our faith through our actions, then maybe we don't actually have faith. Because genuine faith, not a spoken faith, because a lot of people say, I believe in Jesus. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, there'll be many in that day who have preached in my name, done miracles, cast out demons. I'm going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because it's not, you see, the actions, our life needs to model the character of Christ. We're not people of lawlessness doing whatever we want. Our lives display the character of Jesus, and we serve. We have actions. James is not saying that your works save you. Okay, he's not saying works save you. He's saying works are the evidence of being saved. He says if you've been saved, then good works will follow. The Apostle Paul follows up on that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, because it says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But then in verse 10 it says, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, when you get saved, you realize Jesus died for my sin and you come into a relationship with him. He changes your life so that you're a different person now. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we're not going to sin. I mean, you look and you even see in the Bible how Peter, he had some times where he didn't do the right thing and he got called on the carpet by Paul saying, hey, you're being a hypocrite. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but it means that the pattern of our life is going to demonstrate God's love. It's our good works will flow because that's part of who Jesus is. Jesus came and did good works. We do good works because we're saved. Good works are the evidence. They prove that we really are followers of Christ. It's interesting, but when the communists took over Russia in 1917, they vigorously persecuted the church, but they did not make Christianity illegal. In fact, their Constitution of 1918, Article 13, guaranteed freedom of religion. How many realize that in the Soviet Union, they're guaranteed freedom of religion? Yeah, but their definition of freedom is much different than freedom of religion in America. Article 16 of their Constitution established that only the Soviet Union would render, and I quote, material and all other assistance to the workers and poor peasants. This effectively made it illegal for the Christians to do any good works. In their book, The Externally Focused Church, Rick Russo and Eric Swanson note that because the church in Russia could no longer feed the hungry or take care of the sick or the orphans, that within 70 years, it was irrelevant. They say this in their book, if you take away service and you take away the church's power, influence, and and take away their evangelistic effectiveness, the power of the gospel is combining its life-changing message with selfless service. We can't just be all talk. We need to be people of action. Turn to your neighbor and say, faith requires action. Okay? Faith requires action. Now give him an action. Wave at him. Or don't punch him. Or give him a high five or something like that. All right? Yeah. Faith requires action. If there's no action, it's lifeless, useless, ineffective. It will not influence the world if we're all talk and no walk. Faith actually requires us to live differently. Otherwise, it doesn't take any faith. Faith requires us to take risks. How many like to take risks? It depends. Most people don't like to change. The only thing they like to change is our socks and underwear. Junior hires don't even like to do that, you know. Here's the thing. We need to be willing to step out even when we don't see what's going to happen next. In the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, there is a point where Indiana, our hero, he has to cross over to the other side. But the thing is, there is no bridge. There is no rope to swing on. There is nothing there. And he has to step out onto the ledge into midair, and only when he steps into what appears to be nothing does the bridge appear. Friends, there are times God is going to call you and I to serve someone, to do something, to give something, to commit some time, some energy, and we say, I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. No, what you're really saying to God is, I won't do it. Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God tells me to do something and I don't do it, it's not because I can't do it, it's because I won't do it. And there's a big difference. Can is ability, won't is your will. And as a Christian, we're supposed to pray every day, not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Here's the thing, God wants you and I to walk in the Spirit, to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us about how we can serve, how we can minister. And serve, that basically means to meet needs. God wants to show us a need in someone's life, and then this is how you're going to fill it. God wants you and I to meet people's needs, and we've got to be willing that when the Spirit prompts us, we overcome our fear, we overcome our apprehension, we overcome a lack of resources or lack of time or a lack of energy, and if God said it, I'm going to do it. I'll obey him and I'll step out and I'll serve. Are you willing to step out into nothingness and obey God? Because that's what serving might require you to do. That's what serving may require you to do. Friends, as we talk about serving, I challenge you to say, God, every day, say, God, here I am. How do you want to use me? Yesterday at men's breakfast, the speaker said, I want that he prays every week, God, help me lead someone to the Lord. And you know what? God convicted me. It's like, I don't pray that prayer every week. I don't say, I've been praying for the people on my list, open their eyes, God, save them. But I haven't said, God, help me lead someone to Jesus this week. How passionate are we? I mean, we pray for some things, for our family, for God to meet a financial need, for God to help us with whatever it is, and we might pray for that every day. Out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. When we have a heart for souls, we're going to be praying, God, help me to lead someone this week. Help me to see. Help me to be aware. God, help me to love. Help me to serve. Help me to invite. Help me to welcome. God wants you and I to move to a different dimension in our service, in our lives for him. God is calling you and I to step out of the boat and to serve. In your next step section this morning, we give you four ways to apply this message. Number one is serve one person this week. I want you to look for how you can serve one person this week. Maybe it's helping their neighbors get the garbage away from the curb. Maybe it's something as simple as that and taking it up to their house. Maybe it's helping them mow their lawn. If you know it's getting a little long, go over, hey, can I mow your lawn for you this week? Maybe even if it's not really long, just go over, because you know they might take it as an insult if it's a foot high. But you know, when it just needs mowing and it's not bad, hey, can I mow your lawn? Well, why do you want to do that? Just to show you God's love in a practical way. I want you to say that with me. Why are you doing this? There you go. You've got it. Isn't that easy? Why are you doing this? Why are you helping me? To show you God's love in a practical way. Maybe something else you can do is, if you live in an apartment complex, sometimes in the hallways or up on the landings, there's a lot of debris, leaves, junk that blow in. Just sweep it off and clean it. Or maybe if you're coming in from the you know where you park and you see your neighbor carrying groceries or got a big trunk full of groceries, go over and say, hey, can I help you carry your groceries to your apartment? Just serve them in that way. Maybe there's a family you know that's doing nothing for the 4th of July. Maybe they're new to the community, a new neighbor who's moved in. Maybe invite them over, include them in what you're doing. Go watch the fireworks with them. few weeks ago when I talked about facilitating, I talked about our neighbors across the street, Joe and Kim, how they just appeared to church on Father's Day. Something I had been doing for them and many of our neighbors was when there was a really big snowstorm and they didn't have snow blowers, I would blow the snow for them. I don't know how many times I did that a winter in the Midwest. I mean, and our snow stuck around for a while. It wasn't uncommon to have 5-6 foot piles of snow that stayed from December to March. And so when you're shoveling, you're throwing up high, man. And I knew it was a chore for him, so I would go and blow snow. I'd go out and blow snow for 2, 3, 4 hours, come back and refill. I mean, it was just a way to serve my neighbors, to show God's love in a practical way. I still do that here. When I can, I try to listen. God, who do you want me to go blow snow for? Look at how you can serve someone this week, all right? There's a second way to apply this message. Number 2 in your notes, serve in the fall festival on October 14th. We're going to have a sign up here at the end of the month. Pastor Mike is putting together a packet of games, because what we're going to do, we're going to transform our sanctuary on Saturday, October 14th, into a huge playroom, all right? Our inflatable, 50-foot-long inflatable is going to be over on the right side over here. We're going to hopefully have some other inflatables for younger kids, for the little ones to go bounce so they don't get trampled by the old ones going through the obstacle course. We're going to have carnival-style games. We've got about 25 different games that you can make a booth for, decorate. We're going to give you the supplies, the list of supplies, you know, everything you need to assemble. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to give out tons of candy. We're going to need people. We're going to serve a free lunch. We're going to start around noon. We're going to give a free lunch. They're going to eat and then go into the hospitality room that we just got done, halfway done remodeling, so it's a nice room for them to sit in. So we're going to need people to cook food, serve food. We're going to need people to clean up when they're done eating, to come and wipe tables, to empty trash, to check the bathrooms, make sure we still have toilet paper in the stalls, because we're praying for 1,000 people to come through this building or more. We want to serve our community, and we're not preaching it. We're just giving candy, giving them a fun day to show God's love in a practical way. And then a couple of weeks later, we're going to have a free pizza and movie night for kids that everyone's going to get a card and be invited to. And just that, we're praying that some people who are maybe hungry for God, they're looking for something, we're praying that when the moment they drive in on the campus, the moment they walk through the door, and people are going to greet them and welcome them, people are going to register them, all these people who are serving them, they just sense, wow, there's something different about these people. There's something different about this place. I feel a peace, a rest. It's a haven here. And that the Spirit of God is going to draw them back, and in time, they'll come into relationship with Christ. And I pray that as we begin to launch this about, towards the end of the month, and we have signups and say, hey, we need your help, you'll say, that's me, I'm in. If you know right now you want to serve in some capacity, you don't know what, I want you to circle number 2 on your sheet. Just circle it right now. I want to be part of that. There's a third way that you can apply this message, and that's by memorizing a scripture. We've been giving you a scripture every week of this series to memorize, because we know is that we memorize God's word, it transforms our heart. And this week's scripture is James 2:18. It says, someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. This verse, you memorize this verse, just a great reminder as you say it every day, several times a day. God, help me to look for someone to serve. Who do you want me to serve today or this week? There's a fourth way to apply this message, and that's for some of us here today or those watching online who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not a follower of Jesus. We've been talking about serving. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, it says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you realize that serving is at the core of the mission of Jesus? He came to meet a need. our greatest need, forgiveness of sin, because our sins separate us from God and they send us to hell, eternal punishment forever. But God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. Jesus gave His life freely on the cross so that you and I could confess our sins, turn from our sins and say, God, I'm turning to follow You. Jesus, I confess my sin. I confess You as Lord. That's what Romans talks about. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that term Lord, it means leader or boss. That's a Bible term for leader. And so I'm surrendering the leadership of my life and saying, God, You're going to be in charge. I want You to call the shots. I want to follow You. And there are some of you here in the house today or online, you need to surrender your life and follow Jesus. Your sins haven't been forgiven. You haven't been walking after God and following Him. Maybe some of you, there was a time you were walking with God, but you've fallen away and you need to recommit to that. This is your moment. This is your hour. I'm going to bow their heads and close their eyes, no one looking around. If you're here today and you'd say, I need to commit my life or recommit my life to Jesus Christ, I'd like you just to lift your hand. Just put your hand in the air. Anyone here? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you on the sides. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. To my left, anyone else today? For those watching online, if God's speaking to your heart, you kind of feel this pull, this magnet, like, man, God's drawing me. That's His Holy Spirit saying He wants a relationship with you. I encourage you to raise your hand right now and say, I'm turning from my sin. I want to turn and follow God with the leadership of my life. Wherever you're at, just lift your hand up. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you. There in the middle. Thank you down front. Anyone else today? I'm going to say this prayer, and I would like every person to repeat this after me. No one praying this alone. Those online, you can repeat this prayer also. Thank You, Jesus, for meeting my greatest need. You died for my sin so I can be cleansed. You rose from the dead to give me new life. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I commit my life to following You. Become my leader, my forgiver, and my friend. I love You, Lord. Thank You for loving me. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate with those who have just given their life to Christ this morning? Amen. Amen. I welcome you to God's family. You're in a relationship now, and I want you to grow in this relationship. Like any relationship, it should grow. It either grows or it dies. It just doesn't plateau and stay the same. And to help you grow, we've got a resource we want to give you. And I'd like you to take the card in front of you and fill it out. And there's halfway down, there's a box that says, I received Christ today. Fill it out, check that box, and then take that to our Welcome Center, and they'll give you that free book. Also, next Sunday morning, we've got a four-week class. It's going to go the month of July. It's called Growth Track. We're going to share four essential things that will help you grow in Christ. So some of you, you received Christ just today or rededicated your life. Some of you, maybe the past few weeks you've given your life to Christ. I encourage you to go to that class. It's going to be in the library. Right as you walk in the doors, there's French doors right off to the right. You come in about 10 feet. It's right there, 9 o'clock next Sunday morning. And you can start to grow in your relationship with Jesus.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.